Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, as we all know, things in our world today are far from business as usual. The COVID-19 pandemic, protests in the streets, and cries of racial injustice have taken center stage. And that's why Pastor Rick has decided to set aside our regular programming in order to share his heart regarding these extremely critical issues. He'll be taking us through the small but mighty book of James in a series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't. In this teaching, Rick gives you the principles you need to live through a pandemic. Please be sure to invite a friend or loved one to listen along with you today as we continue with our series. In a year that's caused millions worldwide to experience fear and anxiety at a heightened level, it's never been more important to get God's life-changing word out to as many people as possible. This month, we're excited to announce a $50,000 matching grant that will allow us to do just that. If you'd like to help this ministry as we reach out to the world with the hope found in Jesus Christ, just go to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called A Faith That Shows Respect to Everyone.
You see, the problem is every one of us grew up being raised to distrust what is different. We are raised to distrust what is different. Being different doesn't mean it's demonic. Being different just means it's different. You naturally feel most comfortable with people like you. That's just normal. That's human nature. So how do we root out the sin of partiality, the sin of prejudice, of racism, of bigotry, of having ideas of favoring certain groups and being opposed to other groups? How do we root out this prejudice out of our lives? Well, it's a very complex issue. And a single message like this could only start you thinking. I could easily give you a dozen steps to work on. Next week, by the way, we're going to look at that verse we just covered again, where it says, love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm going to do a message on how do you love your neighbor as yourself during a pandemic, when we're social distancing and you're wearing a mask and you're supposed to stay at home. How do you love your neighbor as yourself during that time? But let me just leave you today with one action step for you to work on this week, okay? Just one simple action step to be a little less biased, a little less prejudiced of people that are different from you, whether it's religion or race or economics or anything else. Here's the first key. We must learn to see people as God does. We must learn to see people and look at people the way God does. Now, I don't do this naturally. You don't do this naturally. You have to learn it, but you can learn it. And you're going to need to ask God for help. How do I learn to see everybody who comes into my life the way God does? Well, let me share some scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says this, the Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We've got to look at the heart. You know, studies have shown that people tend to make judgments about you when they see you for the first time in the first 30 seconds. You know, not only are books judged by their covers, houses are judged by their curb appeal. And people are judged by how they look and how they dress, how they behave, how they talk. Jesus says in John chapter 7, verse 24, stop judging on mere appearance. Stop judging on mere appearance. Make a right judgment. He's saying, don't be shallow. Learn to see people the way God sees them. You know, the Bible is really full of examples of cultural prejudice and racial prejudice. Those of you who are part of Saddleback Church knows last year we did a series on Jonah. That book's about prejudice. Jonah hated the people God was sending him to preach. He was racially prejudiced against them. Even Peter, one of the greatest disciples, had to overcome his prejudice against non-Jews. He had been raised as a strict Jew. And a strict Jew couldn't even touch a non-Jew, which were called Gentiles. And so in order to spread the gospel, God had to give Peter a dream to break through his prejudice against people that weren't like him. God gave him a dream to prepare him to reach non-Jews around the world. Acts chapter 10, verse 28. Then Peter said to Cornelius' household — Cornelius was a non-Jew, he was a Roman — and Peter goes to his house, which is really illegal for a Jew to do in those days. And he says, "You know, Cornelius, that Jewish law forbids us from associating with people of another race. But," he says, "God has shown me that no race is inferior or unclean." Wow. That's 2,000 years ago. God has shown me that no race is inferior or unclean. Has God got that message through to you yet? Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35, Peter continues. He says, "I now realize that God does not show favoritism, but he accepts men and women from every nation who fear him and do what is right." So I'm going to ask you this week to start asking God to help you see people differently. Look at that teenager differently. Look at that person with the strange clothes, in your opinion, or hairdo, or the number of tattoos they've got, or whatever. Look at them the way God sees them. Now, I mentioned this earlier, but I want to come back to it. I believe that God's plan to bring people together is the church. It's the family of God. We are called as a church to model unity, reconciliation, and fellowship to the rest of the world. When the world is divided, the church is called to be united. And Paul explains this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 13 and 27. He says this about the church. You know, in the church, he says, "Some of us are Jews, and some of us are Gentiles. Some of us have been slaves, and some of us are free. But we have all been baptized into one body through one Spirit, and we have all received the same Spirit. Now all," notice how many times he says all, "now all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a necessary part of it." Did you know that you're needed in the body of Christ? You're needed in the family of God? You're needed in a church home? We need each other for many, many reasons. Let me just give you a couple of them. The reason why we need each other, why we need a church family, why you need a church family, is first because none of us are complete in ourselves. We all have weaknesses. None of us can have all of the gifts. Second, we can't model reconciliation by ourselves. I mean, it's easy to love people who are like you, who are lovely and cool. But if God's going to teach you real love, he's going to put you around some unlovely people, or people who are not necessarily unlovely, just different. We cannot model reconciliation by ourselves. We have to be in a group where people are different. All right? So these are reasons why we need the church. Another one is because we find our identity in relationships. You might write that down. We find our identity in relationships. You know, because, friend, our world is fracturing more and more and more into many, many different divisions. And it's literally crumbling into all kinds of divisions. There is a crisis of identity in the world. It is probably the most common crisis in modern culture. People are going, "I don't know who I am. Who am I? What am I? You know, what gender am I? What person am I? What culture am I? What race am I?" And we see this struggle literally everywhere. in race and sexuality, in your place in the world. What's my place in this world? Why? Because when relationships are broken, people don't know who they are. Now, what God says in this next verse on your outline is probably the most radical statement you've ever heard. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 28 says this. So now, what's he talking about? Now that you've been saved. So now that you're in the family of God, now that you're a Christian, now that you're part of the body of Christ. So now you are all children of God. You're all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have been made like him. So here's the radical part. There is no longer any Jew or Gentile, slave or free, or male or female, for you are all Christians, one in Christ Jesus. Whoa. Let me ask you this question. He said, have you put your trust in Christ and joined his family? If you have put your faith in Christ, if you're a child of God, and you put your trust in him, you join his family, then your primary identity, listen, is not your nationality. Saddleback's a multinational church. Your primary identity is not your economic status. I'm wealthy or I'm poor or whatever. Your primary identity is not your race. Your primary identity is not even your gender. I'm a man, I'm a woman. The Bible says, if I've been saved, my primary identity is this. I belong to God's family. I belong to God's family. And when I'm asked to describe myself, I don't first say, I'm a white, older, American male. No, if I'm truly biblical in my identity, when I'm asked to describe myself, I say, I'm a child of God. I'm a part of God's family. And when I get up in the morning, my first thought is not to be, I am a whatever, okay, a white guy. I'm a blonde losing my hair. I am overweight. I am what? No. My first thought is to say, I'm a child of God and I'm a part of God's family. Now, you know what that means? It means that I have more in common with a black female African Christian than I would with a white American male. Because I'm not in the same family with every white American male. But if a black female African Christian is in the family of God, she's my sister. Or an Asian female follower of Christ is my sister. I have more in common with those who are part of the family of God than I have people of my own nationality, of my own race, of my own economic status, of every other thing, because those things aren't going to last. I'm not always going to be an American, but I'm always going to be in God's family for trillions and trillions of years. Here's what it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. In this new life, listen to this. This will blow your mind. In this new life, Colossians 3:11, one's nationality or race or education or social position is unimportant. Such things mean nothing. Whether a person has Christ is what matters, and he's equally available to all. That, friends, is the radical foundation of racial reconciliation. Only the injustice of what was done to Jesus on the cross is powerful enough to stop all the injustice in our world. Now, I want to lead in prayer because it says he's available to all. If you're not in the family of God, if you've never received Christ, you can do that today. And I want to say to those of you, if you have been mistreated unjustly because of your race, because of your age, because of your heritage, because of your sex, because of your economic status, I want you to know that you have a Savior who understands because he was treated unjustly too. And I want you to know that you are welcomed and wanted in the family of God. If you don't have a local church home, Saddleback can become your church home. Now, every week, we do three things at the end of the service. The first thing we do is we recommit our lives to Christ. If you've never done that, I want to lead you in a service, a prayer right now, and maybe all of us could recommit ourselves to being what God wants us to be, a little less biased and a little more forgiving and a little more loving and a little more like Christ. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the people who've listened to this message. And now I'm going to ask you to listen to their prayers as they pray. Now you pray a simple prayer. Say, Jesus Christ, thank you for making me who you made me to be. Just say that. Thank you for making me to be who you made me to be. You chose my race. You chose my parents. You chose my nationality. You chose my sex. I had nothing to do with any of these. And you made me to be me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, Jesus Christ. As much as I know how, I ask you into my life. I want to begin a life of love with you, a life of purpose and a life of meaning. And I want to follow you from this day forward. In your name I pray. Hi, this is Pastor Rick. If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord. And you need to tell somebody, and why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together. If you missed any part of today's message, just go to PastorRick.com to listen again. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. At a time when the coronavirus has millions of people worldwide isolated and dealing with emotions like fear and anxiety at a heightened level, it's clear that access to the hope of God and His Word is of paramount importance. At Daily Hope, we know how vital it is that as many people as possible find that hope as easily as possible. This month, we're excited to announce a $50,000 matching grant that will help us continue reaching out with the love of God during this unprecedented time in history. You can help ensure that God's Word continues to be delivered to more and more people around the world with a financial gift to Daily Hope. Here's Rick to tell you more.
You know, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you, everybody. Because of your generosity, we're able to take the hope of Jesus Christ into places where there are no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ, no churches at all. Now, as you pray about giving, I want to ask you to ask God about sending a gift that's the largest you're able to give, because at this point of the year, we have a donor who has offered to match your gift. That means what you give will be doubled. We get twice the bang for the buck, in other words. So please respond quickly and give in such a way that we can maximize it through this matching gift. And I want to ask you this. Would you pray for us at Daily Hope? Pray as we reach out to people around the globe with hope that people will find Christ by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. So thank you for being a partner with me to getting the message out.
Today, when you give, we'll say thanks for your support by sending you a copy of Pastor Rick's book called Open Doors, A Year of Daily Devotions. It's a beautifully illustrated 365-day devotional from Pastor Rick that offers daily encouragement from the Bible. Go to PastorRick.com today to have your financial gift matched up to $50,000 and to receive your copy of Open Doors, A Year of Daily Devotions. You can also text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to give. We'll lose any part of the grant we do not match by the end of this month, so please contact us right away. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.